You are listening to The Scroll, an audio book about Ecclesiastes, written and read by Vance Neudorf. This is chapter 14. Qohelet blinked at the late morning sun. Benjamin was gone, but there was a new clay bowl on the desk, and beside it was a basket of fruit. Outside, he could hear people calling greetings amidst the sounds of construction and preparations. The Feast of Booths had arrived, and this meant it was also the day of Daniel and Moriah's wedding. Qohelet smiled. Now they could celebrate with their market community, for he and Benjamin were finally free of Moriah's schemes. Leaving the bed, he went to the window and looked down into the square. It was packed full of people buying and selling to get ready for the feast. Piles of palm fronds were scattered about, and some of the men were already busy putting up the framework of their booths. Qohelet sat down and lifted the cover off the bowl. Here was another reason to celebrate the new day, for this was one of Esther's famous holiday concoctions, a rich blend of fruit, honey, grains, with a hint of cardamom. It was still warm, and it was the best thing he tasted in weeks. As he enjoyed Esther's porridge, he read through the lines he had put down in the middle of the night. Now he could see that he really should have lit the lamp, for with even a full, bright moon, his letters were not as tidy as they were in the earlier sections. He read to himself, "The wise understand what steps to take, and that knowledge brightens their faces and gives them confidence. They obey the king's command and honor their sacred vow. Never be in a hurry to leave the king's presence, but neither stand up for a bad cause, for the king will do whatever he pleases, and no one can challenge what he decides. Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise will know the proper time and procedure for every situation, even when they are weighed down by problems. Not one of us knows the future, and we cannot say what is to come. Just as we cannot restrain the wind, neither can we hold back the day of our death. Just as a soldier is not discharged during a time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it." It was difficult to find people who possessed both confidence and a pleasant disposition. The wise ones could not see into the future, but they had enough confidence to take the next step. The wicked could operate only on the basis of their greed, their desire to dominate, and to take more for themselves. He read more. "As I surveyed everything that is done under the sun, I observed the wicked dominating others and inflicting pain. Later, I saw those same evil people buried with honor in a sacred place. They were even praised in the very city where they had abused others. This is futile, for when judgment against crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with evil plans." People had the knowledge of both good and evil to give them insight, and the pressure of death to drive their greed. Left to their own devices, without challenge or punishment for their actions, wicked people would multiply their schemes and become even more corrupt. Although the thorns and thistles God had sowed into the world made it possible for them to continue in their wicked ways, that was not God's final intention. Death was the end of their time of testing under the sun, but there was something beyond. As the conclusion of the poem about the seasons of life noted, there would also be a time to evaluate every activity and a time to judge every deed. He read on. "Still, I am convinced that even though a wicked person commits 100 crimes and lives a long time, those who honor God will eventually be blessed with good. Because the wicked do not honor God, it will not go well with them, and their lives will fade into the darkness." Qohelet chewed on the end of his reed pen and reread that last statement. It was true that evil people often ruin their lives, but the nature of a random world and the craftiness of an evil mind also made it possible for a wicked person to live out his days in relative peace and prosperity. When a government was lacking in justice, evil people took root and grew like weeds. They rose up, towered over those around them, and took away the sun and the moisture that should have gone to others. They could prosper and live at ease. He read again. "Yet there are times upon this earth when the righteous get what the wicked deserve and the wicked get what the righteous deserve. Trusting in justice is also futile." Qohelet gazed up at the clear morning sky. If you could suddenly comprehend all the injustice taking place around the world in every country, city, and family, the combined weight of it would crush your will to live. Yet even in the face of great injustice, people looked for a brighter future. The breezes of Eden still whispered words of hope. Every human being longed for a world where relationships were of the utmost importance, and if injustice occurred, there would be someone to set things right. The will to keep living outweighed the oppression they faced. Even those sentenced unjustly to prison or slavery tried to create a new life for themselves in these situations. Benjamin was a case in point. Torn away from his family and friends, he could have become a bitter soul, taking his anger out on others. But Benjamin understood that an unjust world could not destroy all the good things creation still had to offer. No matter what your situation in life was, why not at least enjoy what you could? He read his last statement. So I commend the simple pleasures of living, for there is nothing better under the sun than to eat and drink and enjoy life. Then joy will accompany us in our work through all the days God gives us. The simple pleasures of life could make a difficult situation more enjoyable. Focusing on what was good made the work at hand, even the work of a slave, a joy rather than a painful drudgery. Benjamin could have complained every day about the back-breaking work of moving heavy tablets around the library, but instead he smiled, memorized Proverbs, and sang. Moriah's father, on the other hand, had been so bitter about his lot that he had always been looking for a way out. Kohelet could not remember a single time when Moriah's father had even smiled. A scuffling of feet on the stairwell outside his apartment jolted Kohelet from his thoughts. A group of voices engaged in a whispered argument. He listened as well as his fading hearing allowed. You've been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 14, a story of the Book of Ecclesiastes. You can discover more at artofwork.ca. Thanks for listening.